This is Movies On Up, a brand new breed of hero. I am seated directly across from a brand new breed of hero in Mr. Mike Mann.
That's me.
That's Mike. He's catching on quickly. That's exactly what Dave does when I do this. And the same old breed of hero, Mr. Dave Bacella.
That's me.
That's Dave. I'm Ryan. Together, with our powers combined, we are Movies On Up.
Movies On Up, where the E is a three.
Yeah, because there's three of us. We're doing the three-man weave.
Technically, yes.
Here for the second week in a row.
Is it second or third?
I don't fucking know. I mean, it's the second one we've recorded. It could be the third week. Who knows? I mean, time. What is time, really? You know what I mean?
Three
in it is
movies.
February 23rd.
If you've seen Interstellar, then you know time is basically just binary sand falling from in front of a bookshelf. Well, yeah, you and me both. A movie that Dave doesn't hate is what our tagline comes from, a brand new breed of hero. If you can figure out what movie that comes from, we'd love to hear about it in one of the three following ways. You can send your guest to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can send your guest directly to our @moviesonup on the Twitter, or leave your guest on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup. If you are correct and if we choose you, a prize package will hatch itself on your front doorstep in, I don't know, a couple weeks, probably from different galaxy. I'm basically giving Dave time to Google the movie because now he's super curious.
Yeah, I still can't find
it. It's a Marvel movie.
So good luck, Westy.
Oh,
technically.
Wow. You're gonna like really hate yourself when you find out what movie this is, too.
Apparently, Mike Mann's Google skills are better than Dave. We've learned that.
Yeah, it's like eight. It's down there.
What we are going to learn this week is, in honor of the Ant-Man, we're going to give you our five favorite Marvel movies to this point. And it's our collective five favorite because there'd be a lot of crossover. And in fairness, it's Marvel we're not counting Blade.
No, it's the Marvel Universe, right, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
We're not counting Howard the Duck.
Whoa.
I wish we were.
Right?
Not counting the X-Mans or the Wolverines.
The X-Mans. None of that. It's pretty much your Captain Americas, your Iron Mens, and the whatnots. And I guess your Ant-Mens and your other guys. I feel like a lot of times we do these lists, there's at least some movies that maybe people haven't seen or haven't heard of or forgot about. I don't think we're going to be breaking any ground with any of these movies. Some of them are the largest grossing films of all time, have opened the biggest. Marvel right now is absolutely killing it. Anything they do ends up, at the very least, a box office success, if it's not a really, really good movie, too.
And this week will kind of test that because, Guardians was going to test that. You have these heroes that nobody knows of. Is that Marvel's chance for failure? Ended up being one of the highest grossing movies of the year. You have Ant-Man, a little known character that isn't super, super popular, but the reviews are fantastic. And I feel like there's good buzz going into this movie. It's been heavily marketed. It's been greatly reviewed. This is another one of those chances for Marvel to actually fail that I think they'll still knock it out of the park.
I was going to say, are we even still considering that? Are we saying, well, if they can do it with Ant-Man, and are we going to say, well, if they can do it with Doctor Strange, when do we just say, yeah, Marvel. It's going to be fine.
Well, I mean, you're going to have a female superhero. Can they succeed with a female superhero?
That's sexist.
Can you succeed with Black Panther?
That's racist.
I know. Anytime you're on that much of a hot streak, you're going to wait for them to fail. Every movie they put out that isn't The Avengers or Iron Man or even Captain America is their chance to fail. So I think people are just as eager to see that.
And I would be interested to know what failing is. I mean, if we look at what Box Office Mojo considers Marvel Cinematic Universe, that does rope in The Incredible Hulk, which made $134 million. And that's the bottom. That's a fail. In this Marvel universe, $134 million is a fail. We're looking at almost $3.5 billion, as of the time we record this, $3.5 billion in box office. So I think you could have a female superhero, you could have a black superhero, you could have a female black superhero, and it would still make a ton of money. Hey, Captain Marvel, let's just do that one.
Yeah.
Again, these are super good movies, and usually when we do our list, Dave, and I'll include Mike in this, they're at least privy to what the list is. They don't know. Dave sent me his five, and Mike doesn't really get a vote yet.
I kind of sent you five. I sent you five, and it's like, or these.
Or you could do this.
I
kind of have carte blanche. I feel like I think we're all going to like these movies. So enough about how I just arbitrarily arrived at our list, and we'll go ahead and get to it. Our number five favorite Marvel movie is what I feel like the one that kind of started it all. It's sort of the Godfather. It is Johnny Favreau's 2008 jam, Iron Man, starring Bobby Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, and the dude. When we talk about can Marvel succeed with, you know, Ant-Man or whatever, this was sort of the test case. Like, can these superhero movies succeed? I mean, Spider-Man had had some success, and the X-Folks have had varying degrees of success, but you know, they've tried Hulk movies before, and they didn't quite work. So if Iron Man doesn't succeed, we don't have.
Not having this episode. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, for me, I love Iron Man at the time. Looking back on it, I mean, it's good, but we talked about it a little bit whenever we did our halftime show about when Marvel does villains well. This movie is a great example of when they don't do villains well. The villain's horrible in Iron Man, but yet the movie still succeeds. It's so great.
It's a true origin story because he's not in the suit until an hour. I mean, it's Iron Man Begins, essentially. It's a while before he's Iron Man. And just the history of this movie where Iron Man danced around a long time. People wanted to make Iron Man movie with Tom Cruise. That never happened. When Robert Downey Jr. got cast, that was a mistake. Robert Downey Jr. was that drunk that was big in the 80s.
But is that not perfect casting
it
for Tony Stark?
It was perfect casting, even though they haven't really touched on that. But it kind of came out of nowhere because you also had Jon Favreau who, you know, he did Zathura, which was a bigger budget thing. But to this day, that's the formula Marvel has went with. You have these casting choices that don't always make sense. And you have these director choices that the Spider-Man just got announced. John Watts is directing that. This dude did a little movie called Cop Car. It was a Sundance movie. And now he's jumping to one of the biggest superhero movies ever because Marvel doesn't care. They're doing it their way. And it's worked for him. Favreau, that's why he still gets executive producer on most of these movies, because Marvel knows they owe it to him. I like that he came back for Iron Man 3, even though he wasn't directing it again. But I think Iron Man's a great movie. I think it's better if it has a good villain in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But just seeing Tony Stark become Iron Man, and the effects were cool at the time, and I feel like it's a great origin story. You don't have to be 89 Batman where you open the movie in the bat suit. You don't have to get right to it. You can build up to it, and that makes the character more compelling, and it worked.
It was a great kind of indicator of not necessarily things to come, because at that point there wasn't things to come, .. But I think as an introduction to not only Tony Stark, but as an introduction to Marvel, the cinematic universe as a whole, I think it's a great first step. And this movie didn't necessarily need a great villain to stand up, but if it had a great villain, this movie could be much higher on the list.
Because this wasn't Spider-Man. Iron Man is a lower... Now he's one of the top-tier characters because of Downey Jr. and Favreau in this movie. Iron Man was a mid-level character. I mean, he wasn't one of your big hitters. Like, it would make sense to kick off this cinematic universe with Captain America, but they went Iron Man, who wasn't super known, and now, I mean, it worked out.
Yeah, and at that point, Iron Man wasn't even a guy that was, like, on shirts at Hot Topic at that point yet. Like, he was just a no-name, really comic book kind of guy, and even really the comic book lines of Iron Man really were never really that great anyway. So I thought in this movie, Robert Downey Jr. is just phenomenal, unexpectedly, because nobody went into, you know, the theater in Iron Man 1 and was like, you know, I bet Robert Downey Jr. is going to be really great in this part, let alone how great his facial hair was going to be as Tony Stark in the future. But I think if you're right when you said about 89 Batman, if you put him in the Iron Man suit at the beginning, I don't think the movie is anywhere near as good. It was good that they developed him in a way that you could have a relatable essence with him in definitely since they, you know, ever since they put him in so many movies, I think that was the perfect way to start.
I mean, to the characters that we have now, he's still like my favorite on film, my favorite character, and I love the fact that we got him first and we've had him a lot since then. We had him a lot in our number four. We had a lot of people in our number four, and it is the most recent flick to come out, Ant-Man notwithstanding. It is Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, starring pretty much everyone. Whereas the Avengers is on our list. It's on our list higher. This one kind of, to me, suffers a little bit from, I don't want to call it little brother syndrome, because it made a shit ton of money. It was a super successful movie. But I'm not quite sure what it was about Avengers 2. Maybe the expectations were too high. Maybe there were too many things going on. I mean, there were things that were great. We mentioned before how much we loved the Hawkeye storyline and how much the twins really added to the movie and the Black Widow-Hulk dynamic. But I'm not sure. Maybe there was just too much going on, and maybe they went in some really weird directions with Thor that I still don't quite understand.
I mean, you can tell that like an hour was cut out of this movie and most of it was Thor. Thor's storyline makes no sense in this movie, and you can just tell that we're missing a large chunk of it. Avengers set the bar so high, and that's where superhero movies are hard to top, because they thwarted alien invasion of the Earth in the first movie. How do you top that? Like, how do you up the stakes? Okay, extinction. So, whatever. They had to go quite a ways to get there, I feel like.
It seemed like a Bond villain. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like how they're going to destroy the Earth.
I love a good comic booky plot. I thought Dark Knight Rises had like a really comic booky plot. I like that. This one felt almost a little too much. I thought there was a lot there. And obviously I'm talking about a movie with flying robots and the embodiment of a robot. But I feel like you had something really there that you didn't need to go as extreme. And you still could have pulled off something cool. I liked Captain America in it. I thought he was funny. I liked the whole cast. We mentioned last week, Spader was awesome. The twins were great. I don't think this cast really had a weak point, which is impressive for a cast that large. And I feel like everybody still had their moment to shine. Like, we talked about it when the Avengers came out, because, I mean, the Avengers came out the opening. Our first episode was the week after the Avengers opened. So we've talked about that movie for 3 years now. We talk about how everybody had a chance to shine. We still get that in this, even though the cast is so much bigger. And it worked out. It wasn't great, but I still, for what it is, I still really, really love it.
Sure. I think maybe that might be a problem that I have, is the cast is so large that maybe you'd like a little more time for some of the other characters, but it just has to be parceled. You have to miss a bunch of Thor just because we have to have a larger Hawkeye storyline, because we have to explain the twins somehow because they're brand new and, oh yeah, we've got this villain. I guess, and I don't want to necessarily go into the differences between Avengers and the second one, but it kind of seems like Avengers was the culmination of the first phase, and it was. And Avengers 2, instead of being a culmination, it was kind of half that and kind of half like trying to set up movies going forward. And I think that's where maybe the plot got a little confusing.
And that's where Marvel is in a tough spot now, because people go into these movies not wanting to see this movie, wanting to see how this movie leads towards everything. And from what I've read about Ant-Man seems pretty contained, which I'm really excited about. Guardians of the Galaxy was pretty contained, but yet you know where it stands in the rest of the world. But I mean, that's different. They're so far removed. So it's hard to have Captain America 2 without, hey, well, where's the rest of these guys? You get that a little bit with the movies now, is where's it go, and not necessarily like, where are you taking me right now?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing with that is you have people talking about, you know, weeks before the movie comes out, is there anything after the credits? Is there one of those scenes where they lead towards a new movie? And a lot of people are more concerned about that than the actual movie themselves. So that's where I can agree with that. You know, they kind of set up too much almost, and, you know, don't really flesh out enough of one movie at once. They're trying to put forward four, five, six movies.
They have 5 years in advance pretty much planned.
Yeah. So it's just they're putting too much all in one thing, I think, at this point.
It does feel a bit like a Jenga tower that you keep building and building and building.
And I mean, I'll admit I was wrong. When Marvel Universe came out, I thought that was going to hurt it. I really thought that using each movie to build up, like I wanted my standalone Captain America, my standalone Thor. I'll admit that I'm wrong. Does it affect it a little bit?
After $3.5 billion.
Yeah, I mean, does it affect it a little bit? I think so.
Sure.
Is it a detriment?
I'm just being an ass.
I don't know. I don't think so. Like, I don't.
It hasn't yet, but I mean, yeah. At some point, maybe not. Is a Doctor Strange movie not good? But it's, if you have to link a Doctor Strange movie to much larger events, you kind of already mentioned our number three, which is the number two, which is a Cap 2. That movie kind of had a little bit to set up as well. I think it did a great job. In a post-Avengers world, when we've got this movie, we've seen all these guys team up. All right, well, if there's a problem, if Captain America's got a problem, why doesn't he pick up his Captain America phone and just call up Iron Man and say, hey, bro, why don't you come on down and let's beat up some bad guys? Or, hey, let me call Thor. To me, that's why Cap 2 is my favorite of the Captain America movies, and because I was making the list, the only one that shows up on the list, is I think it did an awesome job of Guardians is so far removed. We know why the Avengers aren't helping out the Guardians of the Galaxy, but we don't know necessarily why Captain America is kind of going it alone, yeah, with the Black Widow, but yeah, that makes sense. And we get to see the Falcon, who I thought Anthony Mackie was tremendous.
The Falcon's like, not a great comic character, but they made him awesome on screen. And Mackie's...
Dude's got so much energy. He was great.
I think this was higher on my original list because I love this movie. It's so wonderfully directed. If you watch the direction of this movie, I want every action movie directed like this.
The Russos did a great job.
The stuff the Russos do with the cameras just make me more and more angry at Paul Greengrass. Like, if you get them directing a Bourne movie, I love the Bourne movies as opposed to hating them with Paul Greengrass directing them. You don't have to move the camera to convey action. You can do that through cuts. Like, if you watch this movie, like, when there's action, when there's anything going on, I mean, the camera's cutting constant, but not to the point of making you sick. And it's stuff that you might not even notice if you're not paying attention, but it's wonderfully directed action. And I am excited. I love what Whedon's done with the two Avengers, but I think they'll do awesome with the next two Avengers and with Civil War. I like that this is kind of a shift for Marvel. Like, this was kind of a shift in the philosophy because, okay, Iron Man is an Iron Man origin, Captain America origin, Thor origin, Incredible Hulk kind of an origin. This is where they kind of said, like, okay, let's make a political thriller. That's what this movie is, essentially. And that kind of led into, all right, let's make a space opera. Let's make a heist movie. Spider-Man's going to be like a John Hughes movie. It's like this is the turning point where they realize, like, to keep superheroes from being stale, we can't just keep making superhero movies. We have to make these kind of movies.
They have their own flavor.
With superheroes in them, yeah.
Like Captain America movies. You mentioned political thriller, and that's perfect because when we get into Civil War, that's kind of what that is. There's a lot of politics behind that. So by having, you know, the flavor of Captain America movies already a little bit be like that, kind of sets the tone a little bit.
And I mean, you're taking them and you're not making just a punch-punch-kick-kick character. You're turning Captain America almost into like a super Jack Ryan, which is kind of cool. And the comics didn't really do that. So it's cool to see that transition onto the screen. And I really love Cap 2. I love it so much.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that what Marvel did well here is they took a lot of, like, Captain America had a lot of bad storylines in a row comic book wise. Like you said, they took that and then kind of put it into a movie where, you know, you have other stuff going on. You have heist movies, political thrillers, stuff like that. And that's what I think they really need to keep doing to make great movies in the future, because without a lot of that stuff, you're just going to have a lot of overused action scenes in movies. And Captain America 2 is within my top three of my own Marvel movies, I'd say, within the last couple of years.
It ought to be. It is in our top three collectively.
Well, yeah, collectively, but singularly, not knowing the list coming in, I would have put it in here too. So, yeah, this is good.
Our number two, I'm hoping, is collectively and singularly.
Probably.
It's the Avengers. I don't want to call it the granddaddy because that's what I called Iron Man, and technically it is.
It was the proof that this actually works.
Yeah, because we had, okay, Iron Man can work, Iron Man 2 can work, and Captain America can work, and Thor. But how do we make this amalgamation of all these super strong, at this point, they are very strong characters that have headlined their own movies. How do we put them together, reboot a character with the Hulk, and still make all this work and not just be a big dumpster fire? As much as the fate of the universe quite literally hinged on Iron Man, whether or not it was going to be successful, I think if Avengers would have been a grease fire, we could have saw a drastic scale back in what Marvel's doing now.
Not even a grease fire. The thing opened to $208 million. If it opens to 90 million, you're seeing a different world. Like, it's still successful. Say it tops out at 220 million. Like, it still makes its money.
You're not
back.
Seeing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You're not seeing Agent Carter, the Netflix stuff.
You're not seeing 5 years of movies introduced, and I was skeptical going in. I didn't know that it could work. I was proven way wrong, and I'm a shill for Whedon. I love Joss Whedon. I like it so much because it felt like a Whedon movie. His fingerprints were all over this damn thing. It was a Whedon movie with all these characters that I've seen in other movies, and it came together so well. Like I said, we've talked about this movie for 3 years. I don't think there's anything I haven't covered, but I really love this movie, and it still holds up. I still prefer it over Age of Ultron. It's so well done and surprising to the point. I thought, okay, maybe they can pull it off. I didn't think they'd pull it off this well.
No, I mean, I think when we considered this movie, and it's hard because we started the show pretty much as this movie hit the theaters, but I know that I didn't think this movie was going to make $600 million. I thought it might be a $300 million movie, which is a shit ton of money. But, you know, after it opens to almost that, I do think it was kind of a game changer. Going forward, we don't have Guardians. Like I said, we don't have the Netflix stuff if this isn't one of the biggest movies of all time. And I think that when you compare anything, and we don't compare Cap 2 to the Avengers, but you're going to get that comparison with Age of Ultron, which is a fantastic action movie. It's a lot of fun. To me, in the summer, that's kind of what movies should be like. But the first Avengers, with the humor that's in there, and it doesn't feel like he had to change any of the characters from their standalone movies to fit with that humor. It was just really, really well done. And I'm so happy, not that, you know, Joss Whedon needs any kind of a pat on the back by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm glad that he had his name on something that was so successful, because the guy's made super great nerd stuff for years and years and years, and finally he gets, I mean, it's still nerd stuff, but it way crossed over to everybody stuff at $600 million.
Yeah, and I think that my favorite philosophy on this is you had to take a lot of different fan bases. Not every Iron Man fan is a Captain America fan. I'm a Captain America fan, and I'm not a huge Thor fan. Or, you know, really, I don't know personally too many big Hulk fans. But you tie in all those people into one movie and can put together a movie that everybody can like. And I think that's why this movie did so well in really all facets, and why Age of Ultron did so well, too.
It's got a little bit for everyone. If you're an Iron Man fan, come on down. We've got some of that for you. If you like Captain America, come on down. We got some of that for you. If you're a Joss Whedon fan, come on down. We've got some of that for you. Our number one, it's got none of that shit going for it. I can't imagine there were too many people. If you're a James Gunn fan, come on down. That seemed like an out-of-the-box directing choice for our number one. But in typical Marvel fashion, it was out of the box, but 150% right. Our number one is, we say that, you know, Avengers is the proof, and this is the proof, and this is the proof. You can make the argument that Guardians of the Galaxy is the proof. Being as successful as it was last summer, I remember Dave and I were doing, this is when we were still doing over-under, I think, and we were trying to set the over-under for Guardians of the Galaxy, and I want to say we maybe set it at like 200, maybe 250.
I don't think we ever went that high, to be honest.
Yeah, we may not have, because, I mean, really, you've got
to... I thought it topped out at like 150.
Sure. I mean, we've got a director that has made some really cool stuff, but not...
I love Slither.
Right.
I love Super.
Exactly. But not stuff you would think it's summer blockbuster, you know, fun for the whole family. And then you have characters that... You can make the argument, people don't know Hawkeye. There's nobody that knows Star-Lord. Nobody knows Drax. Even people that read comics a lot. Guardians is not necessarily a very well-read book, but they were able to take this and make it a great movie. If it took place outside of the Marvel Universe, it wouldn't matter. It's self-contained, and it's a great movie.
It's a space opera. I mean, it's Star Wars for now, essentially. And you look at Marvel pulling its power, the two biggest movie stars in this movie are voice-only roles.
Well, I mean, I think...
At the time.
Yes,
the
I think
time,
Chris Pratt can make a great argument
at,
now
at
that that's
time,
different.
At the time, I mean, Bradley Cooper is a multi-time Oscar nomination. He's a raccoon. Vin Diesel's driven his way to...
He is Groot.
Yeah, he has one line in the movie that he says over and over. it was perfect. And, you know, I was a gun fan. This movie, a lot of stuff went right. They made the right choice with Gunn. They knew he had his own little unique stuff that he could do. And then he took a chance on Chris Pratt. I remember we were doing news episodes at the casting process, and there was a dozen, like, big-time kind of names going for Star-Lord. And Chris Pratt kind of came out of nowhere. This is during Andy Dwyer days, or where he was bigger. And James Gunn said, "That's who I want. What if he doesn't get in shape? Then I write a fat superhero." Like, and that he took a chance on, yes, Chris Pratt can do this. And it worked out pretty well for him. And now Chris Pratt is one of the biggest movie stars in the world. It just works. This is one of those that has so much rewatchability. The jokes are great. The cast is great. The world building. Everything they do in this movie. Like, you talk about the Avengers doing a lot. You had all these movies building up to Avengers, and then they have to fit it all together. They at least had those movies building up. You're introducing characters from scratch. You're introducing this whole world. You're not in New York. You're not driving to Chicago to pick up Hawkeye. You know, this is a brand new world. And I thought the world building was amazing. I thought the characters, the makeup was great. The makeups and the CGI.
And the CGI
was
really good.
Rocket and Groot looked great. Even when Nathan Fillion shows up, his character looks good. Everybody looks good. Yondu, the makeup, Nebula. I love Nebula in this movie. Like, just the character design and the execution was great. Another one where I loved Lee Pace's Ronan. I just wish they'd have done a little bit more with Ronan, because I feel like he was a little underdeveloped, which is a theme in Marvel movies like we mentioned. But I could go on about how good this movie is, because I watch it every time it's on. My kids love it. I love it. They fit a cum joke into a Disney movie, essentially. Everything clicked. It's one of those where on paper, none of this works.
And if anybody was going to be able to do that, it's James Gunn.
Yeah.
As much as I like The Avengers, because it's a great team-up movie, it's a great beat-em-up movie, really almost everything The Avengers does well, this movie does better. It just has lesser-known characters.
And that might have helped it, because you didn't have to build them up as much. But, I mean, just the jokes in this, I need that guy's leg. Like, just those exchanges there. I mean, Rocket, I like Rocket in this. I think he stole it. Pratt's great. Like, everybody's good. It's just such a good movie.
I wish I could explain how much I really was against actually seeing this movie before I did go to the theaters. I went with a group of my friends and went and saw it. Before I went and saw it, I grabbed Guardians of the Galaxy. I went through this big comic book reading phase for, you know, a couple months. And the Guardians of the Galaxy came out, and it had a cool, really variant cover at the time. So I went and picked that up, and I read it, and I was like, this really isn't all that great of a comic book. I'm probably not going to continue to read this. So I didn't. So that was really my first strike against it. And I'm just really not a big Vin Diesel guy. So I was like, man, I really have no interest in seeing Vin Diesel in a superhero movie, until I found out he only said like one sentence the whole movie and over again. But, you know, my friends, we were looking for something to do, and we went and saw it, and I was really glad I did. Like you said, everything Avengers does great, this does better, and I think exponentially this has one of the best, really, soundtracks of a movie. It pulled really all generations of music together for all different age groups, and I think the soundtrack is one of the reasons why it's so good for the family, besides, you know, tying stuff in.
Everything works together, and everything just kind of falls into place. Like, that was kind of ballsy of Gunn to say, okay, I want to do this space opera, but here I want to have the soundtrack is a character. Mm-hmm. Like, the music of the movie is another character, and it worked so well. The sequel is called Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, just because of whatever awesome mix.
The
volume.
Tape, yeah.
Yeah. And it's worked in there so wonderfully and so naturally, because at no point does it feel like they're forcing that music in there. It just kind of happens, and it fits great.
If you ever have any question as to whether or not Marvel's going to be able to do something, I really think you need to look no further than this list. The biggest question mark on it is our number one, and it's really not even close, I don't think. I'm not saying that, you know, Black Panther is going to supplant Guardians if we do this list again in 3-4 years or whatever, but I got no reason to believe that it's not going to be super good.
And the thing is that they keep nailing everything. I don't care about Doctor Strange. I have no care in the world about the character Doctor Strange. But you give me a movie where Benedict Cumberbatch is going head-to-head with Chiwetel Ejiofor, and you throw Tilda Swinton in there, I'm in.
I'm super like, in it, I'm just for Benedict Cumberbatch alone.
I mean, I'm into that. Benedict Cumberbatch and Chiwetel Ejiofor, that's, like, those are two Oscar award-worthy actors.
I mean, just say it. You want to kiss both of them open
I
mouth.
Do. Yeah, I really go. Do, at the same time.
Benedict especially.
And I mean, you got Captain Marvel, who Emily Blunt is obvious needs to be that, or I like Jodie Whittaker, but I think that'll be cool because that'll – and Black Panther, they nailed. I said the whole time there's only two choices for Black Panther. You either have to cast Chiwetel Ejiofor or Chadwick Boseman, and they went with Boseman. Even Inhumans, I think, is going to be cool. It just – where do they go? They have a really good problem because they're booked up till, what, 2019 now? Mm-hmm. Ant-Man does good. Where's Ant-Man 2 squeeze in?
God, how do we squeeze another $250 million out of
somebody? Yeah. Doctor Strange does good. Yeah. How do you fit a Doctor Strange 2 in there? Like, where does Guardians 3 fit in with Avengers 3 and 4? So, I mean, it's going to get interesting. We do have a couple years coming up where you have three Marvel movies for the first time. And how long are they going to want to do it? Like, how long can Hemsworth do Thor? How long? Chris Evans, this is the opposite of what Chris Evans wants to be doing. He's embraced it because it's working out so well, but he doesn't like the spotlight. He doesn't want to be that tentpole guy. Whedon's already burnt out of it. Whedon's done after two. So, yeah, things are going great for them, but they are people, and you do get tired of stuff. Like, it almost feel like Downey Jr. feel almost...
But they've built such a machinery and such a blueprint for success. You can take Chris Evans out. All right, fine. Guess
Bucky.
What? Bucky.
Sebastian Stan, you've signed a 9-picture deal. Anthony Mackie, take
That's
over.
What I was going to say. The Falcon is Captain America now, so yeah. What the hell? Let's just make it happen.
They've set themselves up, and it's almost like they have 5 or 6 years already looking forward to...
I'll be Thor.
Yeah, and I mean... That. It's almost like there are a lot of comic characters. And now you're adding Spider-Man.
Right.
So, I mean, and you're adding a young Spider-Man. How many Spider-Man movies can they make? Like, that Holland, which I think is perfect casting, by the way. That kid's phenomenal. You can go on a while, and it's almost like, okay, be successful long enough for Fox to lose X-Men or Fantastic Four. Because if they can maintain their success long enough until the X-Men rights revert back.
And then do a Secret Wars movie.
I mean, they'll start right back over. If you get X-Men into MCU, that's a dozen years of success right there. Like, just between X-Men movies and spinoffs. Like, that's... If the Fantastic Four in there, depending on how this movie does, that's already greenlit for a sequel, green lights can change. So, they're set up. And it's just interesting is how far can it go?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, hopefully we'll do this list again in another couple of years, and we'll have maybe 5 new movies on there. But if we have somehow left off your favorite Marvel movie, if you're a giant Iron Man 3 fan.
I love the first Captain America.
Sure.
I love Captain America.
I like the Spider-Mans a lot.
I enjoy the Spider-Man movies as well. We kind of limit it to the MCU, but if you love Blade, hell, I like Blade.
I think Thor, the first Thor I thought was really good.
Nobody likes Thor.
Even the bad ones, like Iron Man 2 and 3, in context, are bad Marvel movies still damn good times? I still enjoy both of them.
And if you like them, we'd love to hear about them. moviesonup@gmail.com. Facebook.com. I think we might. I don't know. Maybe you've got them all. Facebook.com/moviesonup. At moviesonup on the Twitter. As we said a couple weeks ago, or maybe just a week ago, and maybe even at this point, now we've got even more Movies on Up for your ears as the news episodes are back with Mike and Dave. We'll be back next week with something.
We have a great episode planned.
Yeah, it's greenlit, so we will see
it's
you next week.
It's a big question mark, but it's probably going to turn into an exclamation mark like all Marvel movies right now.
Indeed. So just hang around until next week for that exclamation point. And until then,
keep it up.